guests and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Don't label us left or right.
We are American.
Not looking for a war, but we came to fight.
We are American.
Somebody's gotta stand up.
Stand up.
Somebody's gotta do what's right. We're rising cause we're fed up. Got our house in order and got yours inside.
Good morning, Sovereign Minds. My name is Mark Kent, and I'm your host. And we are here today, and today is August 10th, 2014. And we have in the studio with us our guest, Patrick Jones.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me on. As always, nice to be here on a Sunday morning.
Very good, very good. And also we have Linda, my sister, and Bob Martin.
Good morning.
Our trusted soundboard operator, all-around great guy.
Good morning, Mike. Good morning, Glenda.
Good morning.
Welcome back to the Radio Ranch.
The Radio Ranch. We are streaming worldwide. You can go to KCNR1460.com and get on the chat room, or you can call in during the show anytime at 530-605-4567. That's 530-605-4567. All shows are podcast and archived as well. And you better hurry up if you want to friend me on Facebook. I think I actually have about 20 slots left to the 5,000 before they cut me off and put me in Facebook prison. So
I don't know. I think there's a way with businesses you can take those and integrate them into a business account. But
maybe. But I've already started Sovereign Minds Facebook, so we'll have another 5,000 there. We'll just keep building. And
did Zuckerberg unfriend you?
Yeah, Zuckerberg's kind of a sucker face.
Suckerfish,
yeah, there you go. Yeah, so anyway, you can. We also encourage you to go to www.shastalantern.com. That is the newspaper that has been created to offset our local wretched fleshlight that never prints anything of value and lies when it does. Should I say that? I'm not sure if that was...
I think you already did.
I think that was politically incorrect.
Bob didn't make it to the button, so you're good.
Okay. Well, if I get sued, hey, I ain't got nothing anyway. So if you got nothing, you got nothing to lose.
Well, the baseball standings are of value.
The quote of the day is, have the courage to say no, have the courage to face the truth. Do the right thing because it's right. These are the magic keys to living your life with integrity. W. Clement Stone. And I think that's a pretty good start with what we're doing here. Do we have any housekeeping over there that we need to worry
well,
about?
Well, I do want to give a shout out to a guy named Bob Patrick. He was on a mission with Missing in America Project this week. They were putting 35 veterans to rest up at Medicine Lake State Cemetery, and he had an accident. So, Bob, you're in our thoughts and prayers out there. So,
oh, there we have it. I was trying to get on the chat room here, but it doesn't seem to be working for me.
I don't think it's working. Oh, wait.
Mine's working.
Now it is.
I'll have to figure it out here. Well, we'll get started here with what we're talking about here. I think we were going to kind of talk about the McConnell land deal. Maybe that's as good a place as any to start, or should we just...
Yeah, that's... we've had some recent debates going on in town about McConnell Foundation, Turtle Bay, City of Redding, and it was interesting to see the level of detail and how this thing is all going together. From looking at internal emails, and a lot of these are available to the public today from the City of Reading emails.
Where do they get those at?
Well, a group or an individual through the Information Act, Freedom of Information Act, has requested from our city attorney all emails and communications with regards to this land deal. And so it's about an inch and a quarter thick. And from that, what we've seen is that there is such a close connection between the City of Reading, Turtle Bay, and McConnell that I'm not sure where the head of the snake starts and where it ends. It gets so confusing, and at times I'm certain that our city attorney is working on behalf of Turtle Bay as opposed to working on behalf of 90,000 residents of the city of Redding. When I read an email that says from Rick DuVernay to Mike Warren at Turtle Bay, hey, if you're going to have a change of mind, we're going to need to be squeaky clean, and you know you have some council members that can't be trusted and or sabotage this process. We're going to have some issues with indemnification, and so we're going to need to have council approval. We've got to be squeaky clean, assess this in your risk assessments, and get back to me.
Almost sounds like a Lois Lerner type thing.
So when I see things like that, that upsets me. That was not brought to my attention by our city attorney or anybody else from city staff. And, of course, city staff works for me and I work for you.
I think that under attorney ethics, isn't that a conflict of interest? I'm pretty sure the American Bar Association might have a problem with that.
Well, it just begs to the question is who's working for who here and who's protecting the taxpayer here and the residents of City of Redding. That's my big issue with this whole project is that we've got McConnell Foundation having issues with prevailing wage over a union, and this is their deal. They've had the 5 acres. They could have built that hotel over 2 years ago. And essentially, the City of Redding is getting drug into this thing, and we're going to rely on indemnification by McConnell, by a third party, and that upsets me that we will risk the possibility of losing taxpayers' funds over somebody else's deal. And a city attorney should strongly stand up for that, and council too. They're here to protect you as well. This is not our deal. This is something between Turtle Bay, McConnell, and a union, and whether prevailing wage applies or not. And to bring the city of Redding into it, we're the deep pocket in this. Now, McConnell's pretty deep pocketed as well, but I can guarantee you they're not greater than the city of Redding.
Seems like the people are always the ones taking it in the shorts because the people that are hired to protect them typically, well, you know, are not necessarily doing it in the best interest. I mean, we've been looking at the city council for years now, and it's been 3-1 or 4-1 or 3-2. Take your pick, and they always seem to vote for the money to be spent and not in the interest of the people, in my opinion.
The day I got to City Hall back in 2006, I had a talk with our city manager, Kurt Starman, and he's, of course, still our city manager today. And when I left that first initial meeting, the thing that I remembered the most and I remember every day that I serve is that I serve the people of Redding. That's who I serve. That's who I think about on every decision, and are we doing what's best for 90,000 people? And not for one small group or another small group, but what's best for the taxpayer and the ratepayer. To me, that is my job. I'm the last person in between what happens with your hard-earned tax dollars. Now, I grew up in Redding and worked hard for a living, as a lot of us have, and those tax dollars are very important to me. In fact, I consider them far more important than my own money because I'm spending it on your behalf. And so I'm very cautious with that, and I'm very protective of that, as I think all council members should be. And so when in doubt, don't do it.
Well, the public trust seems to be not the public trust anymore. It seems to be the public trough in general, doesn't it?
Well, and it's, the other thing that I've learned over these last 8 years is that the inefficiencies with government is vast. And if we're really going to make a difference, we have got to start making government accountable, just like the private sector has. Because I guarantee you, if any company spent money like the government does, they wouldn't be in business more than about a week, and they would have lost a lot of money. We can do better than that, just simply because 488 cities in California are wasting money terribly, and many of them do that. And you can do a 10-city comparison if you want. Well, they're all wasting money terribly. We've got to stop that vicious cycle and start doing what's right and living within our means, just like the private sector can and does.
Well, there is a reckoning coming. We talked about it a little bit before we get on here, and there is a reckoning coming. There's not a recovery. I mean, and despite what the pundits keep telling us and the news media and the propaganda that's being spread, you know, this is going to get worse for a while until they fix the problem, and they have not addressed the problem, which is overspending and making up for at the federal level and the state level and the local level, overspending. And then, you know, this deficit spending just keeps going on and on and on. And you only have one thing or two things you can do, either raise taxes or at the federal level, you print money or borrow it. You know, and that's the same thing at the federal level as printing money and borrowing it, because they create the money out of thin air and borrow it into existence. And, you know, at the same time, you know, at the local and the state level, you can sell bonds and borrow things and do things that way. But the point being is that we just get farther and farther and farther into the debt. And I don't know, but we're kind of on par with Bell, California, aren't we, as far as salaries, aren't we?
I think we're really worse than that. And, you know, and I'm really looking forward this year to finally having the grand jury have some teeth for a change. Now, nobody wants to uncover wrongdoings by their city, because they would be forever known, like Bell. Once you have corruption, and there was certainly corruption there, and it was uncovered, and they finally took action. The paper didn't take action. There was no paper. There was no scrutiny.
Yeah, we have no watchdog here.
So, but once it became apparent that these folks were plundering, Bell will always be known for corruption, and no city wants that. The problem is, when you have problems, you've got to address them. You've got to point them out, and you've got to fix them. And so that takes some people with some real integrity and some real courage. And I think there's at least one or two people running for council, and that's about all, that are going to have that type of fortitude and backbone to do this job that's coming up. And this is as important of election that I've known in the last 12 years as I've been running. And I'm hopeful we can see some change in a positive direction.
And with that, we'll go to a break. If you want to call in and have a question or comment for Patrick Jones, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR 1460.
Go find a network going to treat me right. Y'all can take the change and stick it out of sight. Don't tread on me. Don't you tread on me. Hey, are you ready for some good news? We're gonna take back our country. Well, it used to be easy, get a place, build a house. Now the EPA said, no, that's the home of the blue mouse. Don't tread on me. Don't you tread on me. We're gonna use some common sense, and we're gonna take back our country.
Mark Story, CEO of Haven Humane Society. The heat is upon us, and I wanted to remind everyone of how hot it can get in a car or the back of a pickup for our pets. If you see any unattended animals in cars in the heat, please call Haven Humane Animal Regulations at 241-2550 so we can help.
Captain Eric Lawrence needed help after a paralyzing injury in Afghanistan.
PVA helped me write my resume, got me a job interview. I got the job.
To learn more, visit PVA.org. A public service message from Paralyzed Veterans of America.
The Veterans Resource Center and the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers is having a fundraising trap shoot at the Redding Gun Club on Sunday, August 10th from 7 a.m. to noon. Cost is $35 per person, including breakfast and a box of shells. All proceeds go to helping veterans with housing and special needs. To purchase tickets or sponsor a participant, please contact us at 223-3211 or drop by the Veterans Resource Center at 153 Hartnell Suite 100. Help us help those who served.
He lived in San Francisco and towed his boat to Shasta Lake for a week of vacation. Don Steck for Coachmaster Collision Repair. He said, the truck has a hard pull to the left. The dealer inspected it 6 times but could not correct the problem. He told me, while at the campground, a fellow camper mentioned Coachmaster. He thought, what would a body shop in Redding know that isn't known in San Francisco? Well, I decided to find out. Can you fix my truck? He asked. I told him I have seen this problem and corrected it several times before. The manufacturer made one steering part non-adjustable. It is heavy duty, and probably the idea was to be set for life. We have developed a procedure that solves this problem by correcting the angles to achieve an ideal alignment. He left the truck for the day. At the end of the day, I asked him to test drive the truck. He came back into the office with a big smile on his face, as I knew he would. Coachmaster Collision Repair, Redding, California.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Everybody's talking at me. I don't hear words they're saying. Only the echoes of my mind. People stop and stare. I can't see their faces. Only the shadows of their eyes. I'm going where the sun keeps shining through the pouring rain. Going where the weather suits my clothes. Banking off of the northeast winds, sailing on summer breeze, and skipping over the ocean like a storm.
I guess we're back.
Are we back?
We're back.
Yeah.
I guess we went a little.
I hope you enjoyed the music.
We went a little long on that there, Joe. Sorry. You know, we'll never please anybody. We're trying to get as much as we can out there because there's no other place to go for any good news here other than this station and some of the programs on here. We try to keep it a little entertaining.
And the Shasta Lantern now.
Well, that was where I was going to go. Where, you know, we don't have any we don't have a newspaper that prints anything worth printing, as far as I can tell, other than the Shasta Lantern. And, you know, because it's fledgling and you know, in its size, then, you know, we're only doing a month, 1 month, subscription or,
so they can get it online.
Get it
and
online.
There is some locations around town that they get it. I know Patrick has it at the shop.
Yeah, I've got them at, Jones's Fort, and, people really look forward to each time a new edition comes out. And I go through all mine, every one of them, and I always run out. Got a new edition just out to come on by, pick one up.
Yep, absolutely. All right, cool. And there's a lot of good information in there. And subscribe to it and help support us because, you know, we're not funded by the Koch brothers. I didn't even know who they were for about 5 years. So, anyway.
I believe we have a caller on the line.
Yeah, who is it?
It's Matt.
I'm Matt.
Matt, how you doing this morning?
I'm okay. I just wanted to comment on the segment. I just turned on the radio and heard. Mr. Jones, you're one of the few people I have respect for within our government, but the corruption in Shasta County is well known and completely provable. The building department spent over a decade violating the law and robbing the people while they gave themselves raise after raise after raise.
I agree with that.
The citizen who gets caught violating the law pays restitution. When are the bureaucrats going to start paying restitution to the public? Because the corruption in this county has been all about the money. Our judicial system, complete expletive joke. Jerry Benito was a crook who violated the rights of the people, and I'm sorry, you cannot say that innocent until proven guilty while you use the process to bully people into submission without giving 2 seconds worth of investigation into what they have to say in response to the allegations is somehow innocent until proven guilty. These people have been violating the public's rights for decades here. And I'm sorry, but when the people finally do drag these SOBs out in the street and tar and feather them, it'll be because we have a lawless government that does nothing but cover up the corruption because of the financial benefit that the bureaucratic establishment have been getting from it.
You know, I love your rant, Matt. I love your rant, and I'm on your team. But do you have a question for
Pat?
Well,
I think he had some pretty strong statements in there, and I wish he would be more open.
Tell us how you really feel, and, Matt.
But my question is, what teeth are you going to give the grand jury? Because as far as I'm concerned, the grand jury is just nothing but an illusion to maintain the illusion that there is some accountability, when the fact is, no matter whether you're talking local, state, or federal, we have a lawless government that does not answer to the people whatsoever.
You must be reading our mind, Matt, because we were just talking about it over the break. So go ahead, Matt.
Some good questions there, and thank you, Matt, for all those questions. First, I would agree with you that the planning department's and I deal with the city of Reading, and so let's focus in there. And I believe it has to do with money and control, and that's what we've seen. And It's to the point today where people can't move forward on their project unless they pay essentially and do exactly as they're told when they're told to do it. And it was never intended to be that way. And, you know, the day that comes when I can count to three as my phone rings, sorry, that's when I'll be able to make some changes on the local level. And that is a huge area. So you've hit one of the most important areas that I want to deal with, which is this control and these money issues. Now, recently I brought up the fact that we should reduce the impact fees and we would see development and jobs return to the city of Reading. And in doing so, we would force the county to take action as well. Council, again, turned that down 3-2. And so their advice was, let's raise the impact fees and further control who gets to develop where. We had a developer a few years ago that had property on Hempstead that wanted to spend $168 million. He had the financing to do twin condos and put a lot of money in the city of Reading. Council turns him down 4-1. Incredible loss to the city of Reading by this council and many other projects like that. It's out of control. The costs are too high, and we're stifling our own progress, and so many cities are doing the same thing. I think they're all taught in Sacramento from the League of Counties and League of Cities, and it's you use the word crooked, and I'm just going to say it's wrong for now, but I'm not going to disagree with your term. The grand jury plays a super important role, and if they would ever get some teeth, it could really be a valuable asset here that you would look at public officials and processes within the city, in my world, and not just have a slap on the hand, but really follow through. I've gone before the grand jury on many occasions, and almost every time I've asked them to take a topic, any topic, and really dig on it, maybe slim down on how many issues you take and focus in on a few and really get to the truth and then follow through and hold government officials and the governments themselves accountable. And they're missing an opportunity here. Now, we've got a new grand jury that's just been selected. I think they're taking complaints right now as we speak, and they will do so through part of next week. And it's a super important job, but I don't think that they have the teeth. It seems like they've been gutted. And so if there's any grand jury members out there, really get to the truth. That's what we seek.
Yeah, you're supposed to be a watchdog on government, not a lapdog, and not the good old boy thing with the county and the city, because that's kind of what I've seen. And I'd like to understand how the selection process was done as well, because, gee, who do they pick? And what's the criteria? And who's the ones that are picking it? And if we've already got the grand jury and they haven't found any corruption for the last 10 years, and it's the same people that seem to be picking the grand jury over and over again, is there an issue here?
Well, to me, I just think it's a super valuable tool that they're not utilizing, that they're, by law, they're required to meet and to review government officials and the policies and so forth, and they're required to do that, and it needs to be done. They've got a great opportunity, but they've got to get to the truth. And many times the recommendations, the council accepts them or, you know, respectfully disagrees with no other follow-up other than that. And we have to do more. We simply have to do more. When you look at things like this McConnell, City of Reading, and a Glynn County water transfer, that was just wrong, and it's probably illegal for the city to speculate buying water from McConnell and selling it to Glynn County without ever using it for our own uses. That is just fundamentally wrong government. And those types of things need to be brought up. And it's not the fault of McConnell, while poor decision on their behalf not to sell to, maybe a water district inside the city of Reading might be handy to sell. It's not their problem they sell out of county, but it's certainly an issue for the city of Reading and the residents here to help that process and never use that water for our own use. Those types of things happen all the time, and I'm not seeing a follow-through from the grand jury to look at those kinds of things. That's just one example, but there are many.
Can I interject on you, sir?
Sure.
The issue with the water, it's a scam. I mean, I hate to put it this way, but it's a straight-up scam.
I agree.
They don't want the water here because it gives them an excuse to fine people, which is another tool to generate revenue to fund their pensions. That's why they don't want the water here. They've sold it out of the community because having this drought gives them an excuse to tighten the controls on the public and comes up with another avenue to generate money by snitching on your neighbor and coming out and finding you. And I don't know if they've found anybody yet, but it's that mentality. We can come up with a way to get money out of the public that drove that issue as far as I'm concerned.
It's always more government control. No matter how you slice the pie, we keep going down this road that government is the way to solve all of our problems when it's actually the problem, like Reagan said.
Matt, I understand your issues, and I think we think a lot alike. And I don't think that all things in government are bad. That's for sure. But when there are bad things, there are things that are wrong, and we don't turn a blind eye to them. We fix them and we solve them, and we're not doing that. And I don't mind standing on a 4-1 vote. I've done it many, many times. I've done it more than all the other council members put together. I'll continue to do so. I'm just simply hopeful that come this November that we'll pick up a person like Mike Quinn, because I see good thinking in Mr. Quinn to help me fix some of these problems. And this is not going to be a fun and easy time, I can tell you for sure. It's never been fun. It's never been enjoyable. It's a job that just simply needs to be done. And the job that's coming up is probably the biggest one that I've ever seen, and it's cleaning up some of these fundamental problems with government. We're here to help you. Who here thinks that government is helping them locally? But that's what we're here for. We're here to spend your dollars to help you. And we have to get back to that. We've never, I don't know if we were ever that, but that is our goal. You should see a government as, hey, they're here to help me, and they are. And the problem is we're standing in the way of your progress.
Yeah, with that, I think we have Charles on the line, but if you can hold.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think we need to go to a break, and if you just hold on, Charles, we'll get you on the other side of the break. And again, if you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR 1460.
Thank you.
Just a good old boy, never meaning no harm. Be told you never saw, been in trouble with the law since the day they was born. Straightening the curves, yeah. Flattening the hills. Someday the mountain might get them, but the law never will. Making their way, the only way they know how. That's just
Hey, Robert, nice to see you again.
Don, imagine you being here.
Yeah, 11 to 1 every Sunday.
Oh, man, this is the place to be, 11 to 1.
Why don't you join us? We have a good time.
I think I will. I think I'll do that every Sunday. It's so much fun.
It is, isn't it? We talk about all kinds of things here on our own community radio.
For the North State.
Remember, Sunday from 11 to 1. Join us on KCNR, 1460 AM, community radio for the North State.
Hey, it's Bad Bob, producer for Free Fire Radio, the very best way to start your day in the North State. Every Monday through Friday from 7 to 9, Carl and Linda Bott bring you what's happening in our community, from politics to entertainment and the issues you care about. If you like what you're hearing, won't you please tell a friend that local live radio is what we're all about? I love my job. Tune in and find out why, right here, Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 a.m., on the home of Free Fire Media, KCNR 1460.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
The juice. Red wine vinegar and olive oil perfectly blended. It's how a Jersey Mike sub gets its one-of-a-kind sass. It's how bites and chomps get bonused. The juice adds that certain something extra. An exclamation. The kind of exclamation you can eat. Jersey Mike's. be a sub above. Stop in at Jersey Mike's today and snazz up any cold sub with the juice.
The degree to which we enjoy good health, vitality, and freedom from pain and suffering is directly related to the level of responsibility we're willing to assume for our bodies and our lives. Hi, I'm Nancy Sutton Pierce, host of the Conscious Living Show every Saturday, KCNR1460.com. My show is about helping you uncover your authentic self, discussing health, laughter, love, truth, sex, and so much more. We awaken to who we really are and why we're here, then life improves. Bon Jovi says, I'm going to live while I'm alive. Are you? Tune in every Saturday, 11 to noon, KCNR 1460, streaming live, KCNR1460.com. My website, ConsciousLivingYoga.com, will give you more information. The Conscious Living Show is proudly sponsored by Orchard Nutrition Center, Gorilla Bites, and Fields Jewelers.
Hey folks, you know where your Swap and Sell is? It's right here every Saturday morning with Ernie and Dave at 7 to 8 on KCNR.
Moving sales, estate sales, we just talk about everything. Swap and Sell with Ernie and Dave is what you need to get your Saturday off to a great start. Entertainment for the whole family.
Almost.
Swap and Sell every Saturday, 7 to 8.
Right here on KCNR.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Old people got no reason. Old people got no reason. Old people got no reason to live. They need lots of drugs, new hips, after falling down just a couple of steps. They need pacemakers, the cost is out of sight. I'd give them a pain pill and just say goodbye. We got no hips for old people. Just give old people some pills. We need to watch our cost, and they're unproductive.
Old people are just the same as you and I.
Their cost is sky high.
All men are brothers,
but it's time they die. It's a wonderful plan. Fat people got big bodies. Fat people got big bodies. Fat people got big bodies and bad luck. They don't exercise, they move too slow. They got heart disease and cholesterol. They'll need those expensive machines that go beep, beep, beep. Hospital tests that don't come cheap. I'm gonna tax every single thing they eat. Every greasy bag of chips, every single treat. Cause I don't want no fat people. Can't help all those people. We're gonna ration their health care. But don't worry, because if you're on the federal plan, you're not gonna be forced into anything like what I'm gonna give those people. Because you're five. And I'm also part of that plan.
Yeah, I couldn't resist that one. That was just too good not to play. Sorry about that. But
hey, it was picking on somebody besides short people, so I'm good with that.
Yeah, I had a couple people in mind when I found
that. I bet
one.
You did.
Anyway, let's get back on track.
Charles doesn't mind staying on hold.
Yeah. Before we get to Charles, I want to thank Matt for calling in and bringing that information.
Yeah, he has some good topics. He obviously is paying attention. He's seeing what's happening, and You know, we'd like to have more people like that. And, you know, and at City Council, you know, in the last few years, we've had folks come and use the public comment period talking about different topics like that, which I'm always, you know, that's what it's there for, is to come and speak to issues within the city's jurisdiction. And then they have been criticized for coming and speaking the truth when it's maybe not favorable to the city. That's unfortunate, you know, because we built that building with taxpayers' money. They have the right to come and speak to any type of issue, and they should really speak to the issues where we're misappropriating public funds and spending it unwisely. And they have, and they've been criticized for that, to the point where they move the public comment period
to the end
at an unknown time. And to Councilmember MacArthur for doing that and raising that, and for the rest of the council members that supported that, I give you an F on that. That's just fundamentally wrong. You need to listen to everything that comes forward, because a lot of these folks are right.
Well, they're becoming our rulers and not our servants. And the truth is good as long as it's their version of the truth, it seems like. Yeah. Anyway,
you there, Charles?
Yes, I am.
You have a comment or question for Patrick?
Well, this is on the subject of the upcoming tax and what the money will be spent on. And along that same vein, Les Baugh, what a weasel he is, dropped quite a bombshell on Friday morning's Free Fire program when he announced that rather than spend money on out-of-county beds, he wants to operate as an interim measure, operate the detention annex not as a medium security facility, which it historically was before they closed it down. He wants to operate it as a zero security facility, meaning they could just come and go as they please, the felons. And this is what Les Baugh, I'm kind of working on a verbatim transcript of his announcement. So, you know, doing that manually is unbearably time-consuming.
You know, Charles, I just listened to that thing with Les Baugh this morning, and, you know, it was reminiscent of I voted for it before I voted against it type
That's
thing.
That's the State of Jefferson question.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Well, Charles, you know, thanks. There's several questions in there.
I mean, it's kind of a bait and switch a little bit because, I mean, these are not going to be people who are working off their traffic tickets or people who maybe missed a child support payment. These are going to be felons, the kind of people Jerry Brown and Ruth Ginsburg think are the salt of the earth, are going to be housed there under Les Baugh's intent. I mean, they're going to basically leave the doors unlocked.
Well, Charles,
and this is what he wants to do with the money. It's archived, and it's going to take a few days to put that transcript together. But I mean, it's like they want to take all the crime problems everywhere in the county and dump it on one particular neighborhood. And if anybody objects, then the whole dynamic turns into, oh well, you're standing in the way of progress. Blah, blah, blah. Let's just run you over so we can dump all these felons near an elementary school, apartment complexes, et cetera, in a thickly populated area in a zero, in a facility with no locks on, essentially. All the doors would be unlocked.
Well, Charles, first I wanted to say, you know, thank you to you. I know you go to a lot of meetings. You go to every council meeting, and you go to many other meetings as well. In fact, I would say you probably go to more meetings than I do, and so thank you for your participation.
Including the Community Corrections Partnership meeting.
Correct, and others. I know you go to the county board meetings and many other meetings, so I appreciate all the hard work that you've done, and I get your emails, and I read every one of them, and I appreciate that. I wish we had more people like you taking that vast amount of time, because there are some eye-opening things out there. Now, unfortunately, the issues with the county are going to remain there with the county, and I'm not sure what the city can do to help that. But you did start off the question. You did start off with the question of taxing, and that is an issue that'll be on the ballot for voters here in the city of Reading, and that's a quarter cent sales tax, and then it'll be used in various manners towards crime and crime prevention. Now, I'm highly opposed to that, and here's why. First, the money that it is that creates from that, if the voters approve it and it's passed, it burdens every business and every homeowner and every person inside the city of Reading. And what it says is that we do not have enough money coming in today that we must tax the public more. I fundamentally disagree with that because it's not right. We didn't look at our budget at all. We didn't scrutinize our budget. In fact, we have been giving raises, as you know, Charles, for quite a while now. And then there's pension liability costs associated with them that we have not accounted for. So we're playing financial suicide, and now we've had to go to the public to say we need more money because we can't control our spending. And that's fundamentally wrong. Now, whatever money that amount is set aside will go towards law enforcement, say it's $5 million. But of the $28 million that runs the police department today, that's general fund monies, and there's no law that says that we can shift those funds around on the backside and go towards other things. And they will, and you'll start seeing that. So will the $5 million or $6 million or whatever the quarter cent go to law enforcement? That portion will, but it doesn't mean the $28 million out of the general fund will. The biggest problem here, and again, Charles, you know it because you've been there and you remember those numbers, is that 65% of the general fund goes to public safety and 75 cents of every dollar that we take in goes for pay and benefits. And that is just not sustainable. We continue to ignore the truth about proper staffing levels because we can't control our spending. And we'll never get a handle on this until we start being tough bargaining council members. And that's what's happening. And I know you will agree with that. We continue to not be tough. We're going up against seasoned union labor negotiators that have been around for 25, 35 years. Council members are rookies compared to them, and they get eaten alive. And then, to make matters worse, we've got the fox in the hen house because the city staff is advising us as to what to do, and they're the recipients of a lot of the pay and benefit increases. So how can the public win here? And in essence, the condition we're in is because of that. We have lost because of how the system is, and we have not chosen council members with a real backbone. You know, in these elections, people can say anything they want. Some of them will be well-schooled and versed in oral debate, and they will sound pretty good, and they will have a pedigree that's 90 people plus endorsements of the who's who in Reading. The problem is, will they have the backbone to fix the problems and do what's right and make tough decisions that's going to anger certain union members? And mm-hmm. and that's yet to be seen.
Well, if anybody believes that we're in recovery, I got a beachfront property in Arizona that I have for sale.
No, it's not that kind of recovery. It's a different kind of recovery. Remember, as I told you, Capitalists Anonymous, CPA, which incidentally is the Postal Service abbreviation for California.
You know, it's really
a 12-step
true.
Step recovery.
This is going to get worse, and I personally think that it's not going to stop until enough people get angry enough to either cut these guys out of the pocketbook and just say, we're not paying in anymore, or it's going to be pitchforks and torches. And I guess these people down there do not realize. I don't think they realize the level of anger that is starting to stir out there in the public.
But it also got to pry their butts off the couch.
A chance for us, like Patrick said, with getting good council people in and starting at that level.
That's right. It's our fault.
Yeah, it's our fault. We've kind of gone to sleep, and we need to really, like you said, Charles, get up off the couch and get behind some of these people that we know.
And Linda and Kent, it's, you know, we have good city employees. In fact, I would go further than that to say we have some really fine city employees, police officers, firefighters, right. street crew, personnel. I mean, we have really good people, and it's not to discredit the work that they do and the knowledge and the professionalism that they have at the job. The fact of the matter is that in many categories we're overpaying. A good, simple example, and I don't like picking on the firefighters, but I will because of what's occurred. But at $15,200 a month for one firefighter, that's the average in the city of Reading, I cannot staff those engines correctly because we've let it get that bad. But it's solvable. It's fixable. And it's called tough negotiating here on out. And that's where people have to really roll up their sleeves and be tough. I've been criticized for not being the guy that gives and takes. Well, the give and take is why we're at where we're at today. And there's no law that says it's give and take. It's live within your means. And that we haven't done. When we average for public safety 4.85% pay increase per year for the last 30 years, you've done a disservice to have the correct number of personnel on the ground.
Right. And I wanted to say, like we were talking earlier, that just because if we do the 0.25% sales tax, people may get the illusion that they're going to be safer. All of a sudden you're going to be safer and ready, and that's not necessarily the case.
I agree, and I think having more money towards law enforcement, it's not so much having more money; it's having more personnel. And when we can arrest those folks, and then the county can get tough and start incarcerating them, because you got to do both. But it's not about necessarily more money; it's about having more personnel. And that's the difference. If throwing money at the problem usually will end in failure.
Well, let's go to a short break here. We have Rich on the line, so we want you to hold there, Rich, and we'll be right back with you. And
this is KCNR, Community Radio for the North State.
Here's the story of a group named Acorn, as dishonest and corrupt as they can be. But Acorn helped Obama get elected, so they'll get off scot-free. The story of Acorn law breaking, stealing votes and crushing all their foes, helping deadbeats get your tax dollars, arranging loans for hoes. Bet Acorn will still be helping fix the census, getting prostitutes free cash and a free lunch, and Obama's in their hip pocket. That is how Acorn became the Shady Bunch. The Shady Bunch. The Shady Bunch. That's the way Acorn became the Shady Bunch.
Hi, I'm Kayla, and they call me the Mouse.
And I'm Red, they call me the Bear. How's California working out for you? Want to change it for the better?
Wake up to your chemical sunrise and tune in every Saturday to the Jefferson State of Mind.
We'll be discussing representation, regulations, and restoring our republic.
So catch us from 8 to 9 Saturday mornings on KCNR 1460.
I feel no shame, I'm proud of where I came from. I was born and raised in the boondocks.
Analog living in a digital world. Every week on Boomer Tech Radio, we explore how technology continues to impact our daily lives. Join us, Bob and Brenda Belongi, every Saturday from noon to 1 to learn about the latest goodies, gadgets, and gizmos, along with the breaking news that affects your day-to-day digital life. Boomer Tech Radio, brought to you by Advanced Automotive, safe, reliable car care for their customers and our community. That's Boomer Tech Radio, now noon to 1 on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
The home of good health in Redding for over 30 years is Orchard Nutrition. You'll love Orchard's in-store deli, featuring no nitrate meats and fresh roasted beef from the local Lazy 69 Ranch. Try their bakery fresh bread, and of course, there's organic produce washed in Orchard's purified water. A part of the Redding community for over 30 years, family owned and operated for three generations, Orchard Nutrition is far more than a health food store. They're the North State Nutrition Experts. Orchard Nutrition, 221 Locust Street in Redding.
Dandelion Gift and Apparel is a unique boutique in the very heart of downtown Reading. It's on Market Street, just down the block from Kobe's Steakhouse. When you step into Dandelion, you have your own personal shopper. At Dandelion, they deliver that personal touch just to help you find the right item. Dandelion is open 10 to 5:30 weekdays and 10 to 5 on Saturday. So head downtown for stylish clothing, gifts, and accessories you just won't find at the mall. Dandelion. Yeah, that's it. Dandelion.
Hear us streaming 24/7 on KCNR1460.com.
The preacher man says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a going dry. Is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, a woman and the kids and the dogs and me.
Sovereign Mind Radio. That was that one's for Pat.
Well, if you don't like that song, there's something's wrong with it.
Yeah, I agree.
Just ain't right.
Well, we have a caller on the line, Rich. Have you got a comment question for Patrick Jones? Or do we have Rich on the line still?
Did we lose him?
We lose him. Hello, Rich.
Try him now.
Are you there, Rich?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Oh, okay. Hi. Very good. We thought we lost you for a second. Again, you have a comment or question for Patrick?
Yeah, I have a question about a statement he just made, I guess, during that last session about the city and bargaining labor contracts.
Yes.
Please correct me if I'm wrong, and it may have changed in the last several weeks, but I thought the city hired a professional negotiator to negotiate on the city's behalf.
We
is
do.
Is that not true?
That is true. That is true.
Okay, because the way you made it sound like you got a bunch of real experienced labor guys negotiating against some rookies, and I know Mr. Avery, if he's still your contracted negotiator, and he's one of the preeminent management negotiators in the state, if not the country. So just hoping you would clarify that. Thanks a lot.
Yep. Now, you know Mr. Avery, so don't beat around the bush, right? So Mr. Avery has been hired, and he was selected by city staff. Council did approve that. And then he takes the direction from council. And council takes their direction from city staff. So that's how it works. And when we go into closed session, staff makes the recommendations to council. Council typically approves those recommendations. And then Mr. Avery carries out those recommendations. And that's how the process works. And with today, lately, most of those have been on 3-2s as to how things go forward. In the end, it's always rookie council members that make the decision going up against organized labor. That is the way that it's been. And as you know, many times council members, how they get elected is from organized labor, and they're going to take those things with them as they go into that back room and remember who got them into office. Now, that's just human nature. We all remember who our friends are. And that happens and plays out city after city after city. And Councilmember Sullivan is a great example of just that type of person who has not differed with city staff once on any issue ever. And she's up for re-election again. Not once has she ever differed from city staff. So what do you have in a person like that? I don't think you have a free, independent thinker. She is definitely supported by organized labor, no question about it. There are many different organized labor groups out there. There's private sector, and then there's the employee labor groups. And altogether, we have about 10 union groups that we deal with at the City of Reading, and one that's not. And it's a tough job. And to say that council members are skilled negotiators that have had a lot of experience in that is certainly not the truth. They're very weak in those areas, and they're not thinking about the long-term costs and can we afford it and can we live within our means, because a simple 0.7% can have a huge cost ramification, and we need to play that out over time to make sure that we can afford it. Essentially, what we're doing today is we're making promises that we can't keep. And that's good for no one. That's good for no one. So we've got to do a better job there. And, you know, when I came on board in 2006, going into labor negotiations, it was a blur.
Well, we got another caller on the line in about a minute left here, Patrick, so I hate to cut you off. But, Kay, are you there?
Yes, I am.
You got a question or a comment?
Hi, Patrick.
Hi.
Keep up the good work. And I was wishing that Charles could run for city council. He presented himself very well, and he's very knowledgeable. And wouldn't he have till Wednesday to file?
There's a few folks could jump in the ring, but if Charles is smart, he'll continue to do what Charles does, because he's doing a great job. And I'll tell you this, that if I knew all the stuff that I would have been gone through over these last 8 years, I would have never begun back in 2002. And the stress level is very difficult. It's really tough to get people that really want to make their city better and make those tough changes. And,
well, I could find leaders.
Well, I guess we're out of time here, guys.
Well, thank you for the question. Thank you, Linda, for having me. Thank you.
You bet.
The Kents are always got good questions.
Very good. Thank you for being on the show, Patrick. What do we got, 30 seconds here?
20
seconds. 20. Okay, government is not reason. It is not eloquence. It is force, and force like fire is a dangerous servant and a fearful master, George Washington.
And this is KCNR, 1460, home of the community radio for the North State.
Barely got that out.
Thank you, Mark. Yeah. Thank you, Linda. And thank you, Patrick Jones. Don Shulman is next here at KCNR, Shasta, Redding.
With SRN News, I'm Michael Harrington in Washington. Another series of U.S. airstrikes on Sunni extremists in Iraq this morning. The Pentagon says the attacks broke up Sunni artillery and snarled convoys that were attacking Kurdish forces in the north. Some lawmakers want President Obama to do more.
Every day that goes by, ISIS builds up this caliphate and it becomes a direct threat to the United States of America. They are more powerful now than Al-Qaeda was on 9/11.
New York Republican Congressman Peter King on NBC TV's Meet the Press program. Mr. Obama says no troops will be committed to Iraq. Palestinian negotiators say they've accepted an Egyptian proposal for a new three-day ceasefire with Israel, and we have word at this hour that Israeli negotiators have accepted the proposal as well. Could lead to 72 days of relative quiet and perhaps a long-term truce arrangement in the ongoing Gaza war. You may soon be able to send 911 messages via text with